Great things are happening, huh? My. Well, we have a special guest, but he's not really a special guest, but he is. He's from our church. He's been doing some songwriting. He has a new CD out called 19, all the songs that he wrote prior to him being 19. He's 20 now, but there's 12 songs on here, brand new songs you would love, and these are available outside. But we asked him if he would come and share some of his songs with us, his new ones, and he has Dr. Rollo here. He's from the North Park University in Chicago, and to help him on the piano. But we are so pleased that J.P. Lamb is with us. He was at a music conference and a competition, and he won vocalist of about 600. And so it's just been a wonderful, wonderful time and season to see him develop in his songwriting. So he writes these songs and sings them, and it comes straight from his heart. Would you welcome with me J.P. Lamb as he comes?
So good to be back here at my home church, New Hope. I've been doing a lot of traveling lately, and every time I come back, it's so refreshing to be in the spirit of this place and to be able to fellowship with my home church family. You know, Jesus tells a story in the Bible of a young man who grows up and leaves home, and he squanders away his life and his money. And the young man gets to the point in his life where he realizes that living his life his own way isn't working. And he gets to the point where he realizes he has no place else to go but home. So he picks up and heads home, and he's ashamed of the life he's led and the things he's done, and he's afraid of what his father might think of him when he gets home. But the part I love about this story is the end, because when he gets home, not only does his father accept him back, but he welcomes him with open arms. It's so beautiful. This next song is written from the heart of a child in need of a new beginning. It's called "I Want to Come Home." This is a song from me to you, to say that I'm sorry. I know sometimes I've wandered far from home. Too many days I make you cry. I can see the sorrow in your eyes. So for this, dear Lord, I apologize. I can't even count the times I've pushed you away.
Thank you to J.P. Lamb again. J.P. has some CDs outside. He'll be available to sign and autograph them.
I mean, you look at his heart, and he's just 20 years old. His career is just going to skyrocket. That may be a good CD you want to capture and keep. So check that out after the service. Exciting news happening, huh? Exciting things happening at New Hope. Here's another bit of news. It's not in your bulletin. We talked about our Doing Church as a Team conference that's coming up September 9th, 10th, and 11th. That'll be a Thursday night, Friday night, and a Saturday half a day. We've said before that this is available for those who have graduated from Growing Deep, Growing Strong, our membership course, and we were going to reserve spaces just for you. We thought about it some more, and it is such an important area of our church. Their DCAT, Doing Church as a Team conference, is such a DNA of this church that you need to catch the pulse and heartbeat of, that we decided to open it up to anyone else who have not yet attended the conference. And so if you've received an invitation, if you are a Growing Deep, Growing Strong graduate, and you received an invitation in the mail and have not yet responded, please do so. And if you haven't attended the conference, please sign up. And we want to take registrations. Very limited seats are available. You can find out more information as you exit the auditorium right outside there. You'll see a banner, Doing Church as a Team. All right? Also, our water baptism is happening this afternoon, 3 p.m. Magic Island. Just go all the way down to the Makai end of Magic Island. Look on the Eva side, and you'll see some tents set up there with our logo on it, New Hope Christian Fellowship. Join us there. It'd be a great afternoon. Bring a potluck dish and a change of clothes, and we want to use this afternoon to celebrate with you, okay? Good things, a lot of great things happening. Catch up on the news in your bulletin. I'm going to ask if the ushers would prepare to receive our tithes and offerings. And this morning, Pastor Wayne is going to continue in our series of life's growing seasons. Season of promotion. I don't know about you, but sometimes we get confused with the way the world defines promotion. Well, the Lord has a specific definition for that. He's going to teach us all about that. But before it happens, can we just pause for a bit, bow our heads in prayer, and let's give the Lord thanks again for what He's given to us. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for all that You've done in our lives and all that You continue to do and pour into us. Father, we thank You for the resources that we've received, resources in terms of time and talent, and Father, just a love for You. And Lord, You've given us these gifts so we can not keep it for ourselves, but to also return it to You, because as You are faithful to us, Lord, we want to be faithful to You. And as we give these gifts to You, Father, would You receive it, bless it? Father, would You multiply it so Your work may continue in this world, so others may hear Your good news? We give all these to You with a grateful heart, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, ushers.
For the past 6 years or so, I've had this dream of becoming a recording artist and of sharing the love and grace of God through the songs that I write. And one of the struggles I face as an artist is becoming anxious and just excited to do what I feel He's called me to do, and just to get out there and perform and sing for people and share the songs that He's given to me. But what I always got to remind myself of is that the Lord doesn't forget where He puts His gifts, and in His perfect timing, He has a perfect plan. And I know that, and knowing that He has a perfect plan gives me the ability to wait patiently and to be able to keep waiting and just work by myself in my room, if that's where it is, just honing the skills and talents that He's given me. So I feel that if I'm faithful in waiting and developing myself while I'm waiting, the Lord will be seen in the music and the songs that I write.
Since I just have one chance to live my life for You, I wouldn't count on words, no, no, mere words will never do. I'd count on You to fill me, Lord, and help me choose each day to live like You, forgive like You, and give my life away. And I know I prayed these words before, I've tried and I have failed, but I'm back on my knees and I'm asking You, please come fill me with Yourself. When I just look into Your eyes, I see Your love that never dies. I find forgiveness, no record of my wrong. Mm-hmm. I start again with you today, depending on your grace. I'm asking you to help me make a difference in this place. A love like yours is much too great to keep it to myself. So use me, Lord, to share your love and bless somebody else. Oh, Jesus, come and fill my soul. Empty me and be. Let your spirit overflow. Let me feel your passion and your fire in my heart.
Give it to me.
There is nothing else I'd rather do. Walking through this life, giving up my praise to you. Letting you know. Letting it show that I am yours.
I want to let you know.
When I just look into your eyes, I see a love you never lies. I find forgiveness, no record of my wrongs. When I just look into your eyes, I find the strength to live this life. You're my Savior.
Some great songs on the CD. But would you say again, thank you, J.P. Lamb. It's wonderful, wonderful music. Well, if you take out your notes with me as we continue in our series called Life's Growing Seasons. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it says there's a season for everything. And every single one of us goes through different seasons in life. And if God is leading you, then you know it's going to be life's growing seasons. And we want to talk about a season of promotion. Now, this will not necessarily be exclusively to a job. It's going to be applied to every area of our life. But we want to find out who the one it is that is responsible for promotions. Let's read at the top of our notes, Psalm 75, verse 6 and 7. Ready? Go. Promotion comes neither from the east nor from the west. God is the judge. He puts down one and sets up. In other words, he's saying promotion comes neither from the east nor the west. Promotion comes from the Lord. Yeah. Now, if promotion comes from the Lord, then we need to appeal to the right one who is responsible for promotion to find and fulfill his requirements. Because really, to grow and to be fruitful and to increase towards success, you know what? You need to make sure that you're doing His will because He's the one that promotes. It's sort of like who you know. Yeah, in a way, it is. It's like the story of a company president gets one of the new employees and calls him into his office and he says to this young man, he says, son, you began as a delivery boy in this company and you did so well. Within a week, you were promoted to delivery manager. And you did so well, within another week, you were promoted to department manager. And then you did so well, within a week, you were promoted to general manager. And you know what? I'm going to retire this year, and I want you to take over this company. How's that? And he said, oh, thank you. The president says, is that all you can say, thank you? Oh, sorry, thank you, Dad. It's kind of like who you know. Promotion. That's one of the most beautiful words in the English language. Congratulations on your promotion. Oh. Yeah, the reason it's such a nice word is because promotion usually means what? More responsibility. Problems. Eternal significance. Maturity. It means more what? Money. That's right. Money makes the world go round, Yeah, money. More prestige, more importance, recognition. And you see, promotion is supposed to come packaged with satisfaction. And all these wonderful benefits like happiness and all of the amenities of life where people look up to you. You have a little bit more influence and all of that, but that's a myth. Doesn't always work that way. You see, if you define promotion incorrectly, that it always means more money and more happiness, then you're going to go after that tooth and nail, and you'll be willing to sacrifice on the altar of promotion your morals, your faith, your family, your marriage, your kids, even your destiny. One of the most important things that we can do right off the bat, if we want to understand promotion and the season of promotion, is, would you write in number one, you must define promotion correctly. Define promotion correctly. Oh, you can misdefine words easily. You can misdefine and take a word like love, but it's really lust. You can take a word like, oh, this is holy, where it's really just legalism. You can take something else and completely misdefine it. You can say, oh, it's for happiness, but really isn't money. Money means happiness. No, you don't. Be careful. Be careful, because you don't want to misdefine something. Instead of saying, I just really want something, I say, God told me to get this. And I can misdefine. And I recognize stuff not like God recognizes stuff. And you want to make sure that if we're going to talk about promotion, we better recognize it just like God recognizes it. See it just like God sees it. Because if we kind of misdefine and think we're fooling God, we're in trouble. My favorite story is of a lady that a middle-aged woman had a heart attack. She was rushed to the hospital, and she's in the operating room on the table, and she has this like near-death experience. She goes through this tunnel, and a light opens up. And she's before God, and she says, God, is my time up? He said, oh, no, you have 43 more years. Really? All of a sudden, she goes back. She wakes up on the operating table, figures, if I got 43 more years, I might as well make the best of it. So while she's in the hospital, she gets a liposuction. She gets a tummy tuck, facelift. I mean, everything. And a few days later, she walks out of the hospital a new woman. Man, she's sharp. But the thing is, she just walks across the street from the hospital. The ambulance is coming around. Bang! She's killed. Now this time she really appears before God. And she said, God, I thought you said I had 43 more years. Why didn't you stop the accident? God looked at her and said, oh, sorry. I never even recognized you. See, you got to make sure you recognize things the way God recognizes them. You don't want to fool God. It'll get you in trouble. And sometimes we see things, but it's not God's way of seeing things. It's very wise for you to align your definitions with God's so that you're recognizing things the way God is recognizing them, not vice versa. And that's why the Bible says it's so important for us to define things correctly, because that's like the foundation. Foundation. It's like if your compass is off, then it doesn't matter what it's saying, it's off. That's called the foundations. In fact, Psalm 11 and verse 3 says that. Let's read what that scripture says under number one. Go. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Because if our foundations are wrong and we're messing up, even if you think you're righteous, you're going to be off. So define it correctly. Say, okay, well, what's the correct definition of promotion? Here it is. Would you write down in that bullet? Promotion is, here it is, another step closer to God's call on my life. Another step what? Closer to God's best. Another step closer. Now, it could mean a part of a job, a raise, or whatever it might be, a promotion, but it could also not mean that. You see, any time you are making another step closer to God's best, it's a season of promotion. See, promotion happens all the time. But sometimes we say, oh, no, that's not. It's just money. No, you don't want to misdefine it and think that promotion always means more money, because you'll misdefine it. You know the reason that's so dangerous to think of it that way? Because, would you write down? Because the enemy can promote just as well. Do you know that? The devil can promote. If you think that promotion always comes accompanied by more money, then the devil goes, good, good. Because then it could be moving you a step away from God's best. All I got to do is attend it with a little bit more money and you bite. You see, the enemy tried to, quote, promote Jesus. He said in Luke chapter 4, hey, if you come and worship me, Jesus, when he was being tempted in the desert, if you just kind of worship me, I'll give you more money. In fact, he said this, he took him up on a pinnacle and he showed him all of the kingdoms of the world, all the glitter and glamour. And he said, if you'll worship me, I'll give this to you. More money, more power, more prestige. And Jesus said, not on your life. I'm not taking that. Let's read what he says here in Luke 4, what the devil said to him in Luke 4, 6. Go. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. You see, the enemy has control of some money on this earth. And if we think that promotion means more money, then the devil says, great, I'll just lead you further from God's best, and I'll just give you money for it, and I can lead you wherever I want to lead you. So it's sort of like with money, he's just going, yeah, doggy, doggy, doggy. And we're, because we've misdefined promotion. Because there's going to be times God is going to say, it's not going to come with more money. It's going to come maybe with less. But it's going to bring you a step closer to my best for your life. It's a promotion. So we've got to change the way we think about this word called promotion. Because remember, promotion is defined as taking another step closer towards God's best. In Bible college, a friend of mine, he just squandered money. He was the worst. I mean, he lived way above his budget. He'd max out a credit card and get another credit card to pay off the first credit card. And I thought, you idiot, what are you doing? He said, man, Wayne, I'm in such debt. I said, well, what are you going to do? He said, well, you know what I'm going to do? I said, what? I'm going to pray, ask God for a raise. I said, you don't need a raise. You need a new brain. He said, no, I'm just going to ask God for a raise and all this will be taken care of. I said, no, you need discipline. You need depth of character. You got to be able to say no and kind of defer some of your impatient desires to have stuff now. I said, that's going to be bad for you if you don't stop that. You need more character. He said, no, I need more money. I said, ay, ay, ay. So he said, I'm going to pray for a raise. So, okay. Well, he came back about 2 weeks later and he said, he's kind of dragging his tail between his legs. He said, Wayne, I'm not going to pray for a raise. I said, well, what happened? He said, I prayed for a raise. I said, yeah, they raised my rent. I said, good for you. See, sometimes God is leading you in a certain way, and it's not going to include more money, but it's going to include more character. It's going to include more depth and maturity. But if we have the wrong definition, we'll miss God's best. And we'll go a step further from his will. And if the devil knows that I am pulled by just money, he'll put that in there. And can you see, he'll take you right to the edge until you go over and everything of your future is gone because he had a misdefinition of what promotion was. It was like that when Anna and I were leaving Oregon because I went to school in Oregon to come back home. And there's a fledgling church in Kilo and they had asked me to come and consider taking it and pastoring it. And so I was a youth pastor in Oregon for a while, and I thought, yeah, I'll take a look at it. But they said, well, we only can pay you $500 a month. I said, $500 a month? I'm making more as a youth pastor up here. What do you mean, $500? I got to move. And so that's all we got. This is a real teeny church. And you know, my wife, bless her heart, she said, hon, you know, we got to make sure if it's God, then we've got to go because it ain't about money. It's about obeying God. And if this is another step closer to God's best, that money is secondary. We're following God. I thought, yeah, that's right. So we prayed about it. And we really thought, yep, God is saying go, even though it was less money. Promotion is another step closer to God's best. So we prayed and we said, yep, we need to do it. And we're just going to believe God to provide. And you know, God was waiting for our character, our faith to say yes, and not when money was there, oh, and then we run. No, he's saying, no, get that out. Can you hear me? Can you see my lead for you and say yes regardless? And when there's that sense of depth or I am worthy of that, then he can add, but not until. Otherwise, I'll wait for money to come and then I'll change. And basically, God has to pay me to grow up. And I become what the Bible calls a hireling. Or someone who just says, I'll do it if I get money. And then guess who's my God? Not the Lord. Money. The Bible calls it mammon. Do you know that you can be a Christian and still serve the God called money? And so we said, yep, that's what we need to do. And so we made a decision. I'm so glad we did. In fact, God provides. And I didn't know, but about 2 weeks before we left, a guy named Alan Maxwell called me up and said, I want to have lunch with you. I sat across the table from him. He shoved an envelope towards me and he said, God asked me to give this to you. I don't know why, but it's yours. And in this envelope was enough stock certificates of a stock that he had that if I cashed it in that next day, it would be worth $24,000 worth of stocks. $24,000 he shoved towards me. You think I was grateful? Man, I looked at this thing and I thought, I said, you got any more of this? God gave me $24,000 and he said, now you go. It's like the Lord is saying, you know what? Before I promote you, would you write in number two? Before I promote you, you know what he's saying? I want you to walk worthy of promotion before ever being promoted. You see, that's God's goal. It's not to pay you and then you shape up. No, he says, I want you to learn to walk worthy. In fact, let's read the scripture together in Ephesians 4. Go. I implore you, walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Would you underline, walk worthy of the calling? In other words, walk worthy of promotion before ever being promoted. Because guess what? Let's read the next one and see who our employer is. Colossians 3, go. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as though you were working for the Lord and not for people. Remember that Christ is the real master you. Yeah. You see, he's saying, I want you to walk worthy, not because of money, but the fact that you are serving me. So that I want to be someone who is excellent in everything I do, not because of people, and I'm trying to please anybody except the Lord, an audience of one. And the Lord says, when you're walking worthy of promotion, then I'll add that. But if you're not, why should I? And it's not after, it's when? Before. Some time ago, a guy here in town talking to me is from the church, and he said, hey, he said, Wayne, how do I get raised? I said, what do you mean? He said, I've been making minimum wage. I've been 7 years at this company. So I have this little factory kind of thing. He said, 7 years. He said, the only time I get a raise is when they raise the minimum wage. I said, really? The 7 years I've been here. So I said, well, I asked him a few things. I said, you know, are you a good worker? He said, yeah. I said, I'd be a better worker if they paid me more. I said, oh. I said, do you like come on time? He said, I'd come on time if they paid me more. I said, do you grumble like about the company? He said, I wouldn't if they paid me more. I said, oh. I said, so you're making minimum wage as of $6 or something. He said, yeah, just minimum wage. I said, if you don't come on time, if you grumble about your company and you're not that good of a worker, you know, you're actually worth like $2 an hour. And so you're getting paid way more than you should. Well, if they pay me more, I'd be better. I said, you know, how much do you think you're worth? And he came real like, you know, cock-a-doodle-doo rooster. He had this stance like this. He said, $30 an hour, probably. I said, $30 an hour, huh? He said, yeah, I'm worth about $30 an hour.
I said, wow, $30 an hour. I said, I bet you could make 30 bucks an hour.
He said, really? You want to talk to my boss?
I said, no, no. You know what you need to do? You need to act like, perform like, be like a $30 an hour person before you make it. If you are acting like a $30 an hour person, you'll get there. For example, think like a $30 an hour person. Resolve problems like a $30 an hour person. You see, a $30 an hour person doesn't grumble about everything and talks about the boss in the lunchroom. No, you won't see that. That guy is someone who is resolving problems, helping the people to get better, encouraging people. You're acting like a $2 an hour person. You're making six. You're getting overpaid. But if you'll become someone $30 an hour, it'll become part of your life. But you got to do that walk worthy of your promotion. Not after, but when? Before. Before. And then he said this. Yeah, but I've been here 7 years. 7 years is the company's problem. I mean, if I'm here that long, 7 years, they should give me some raises. I said, well, that's not the company's problem. So wait a minute. I've been here 7 years. They deserve to give me more money. I said, no, no, no. Since that's the company's fault. I said, no, it's your fault. What? I said, yeah, don't use 7 years like as a leverage. Man, don't use that. That you've just been making minimum wage for 7 years because you've been here 7 years. You deserve a raise. He said, well, that's what other people do. I said, don't you do it. So how come? I said, you know, if you're like in the fourth grade for 7 years, whose problem is that? I said, I wouldn't brag about that. Reminds me of a joke. I got to tell you this one. This kid comes home from school and he said, Hey, Ma, we had a contest in the third grade. And who had the biggest feet? I won. I got the biggest feet. The mother says, oh, congratulations. He said, Ma, you think it's like the reason I get the biggest feet is because I'm Portuguese? She said, no, honey, it's because you're 19 years old. So if you're too long in one place, don't use like length as a reason for raise. No. It'll work against you. But you got to walk worthy of that. Because you see, if you're walking worthy of that, it'll catch up to you. Now, don't just do it for like a month and try to be real cool. Good morning. And then 1 month later, come on, they never give me a raise. I said, I'm going to complain again. No, you don't, boom, lapse back. No, make it a lifestyle. Because your real goal is not promotion. Would you write it down in that next bullet? Your main goal is likeness. To be like the Lord. Because he's the one who you're representing, ultimately. It ain't about bucks. The devil can give bucks. It's about ambassadorship. It's about you becoming like the Lord so they see less of you and more of him. And then when employers and people look at you and say, you know, your attitude, the way you see things, your insight, your response, there's a depth, not an insecurity, a depth. You're not trying to prove anything. There's a depth. And you know what? You see things differently than most people do. There's a sense of patience. There's a sense of perseverance. You see things differently. And I like that. And you know, there's a magnetism to that when your main goal is likeness. In fact, let's read what 2 Corinthians 3 says. Go. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him and reflect His glory even more. Because in the end, that's going to be the most important thing of all. I want to rewind the tape to 150 A.D. Rewind the tape, and there is an unbeliever named Diogenes. He was a Roman official, unbeliever. But in Roman times, in 150 A.D., even though Christians were being persecuted, Christianity was spreading like wildfire. And the Roman government said to this Roman official, Diogenes, unbeliever, they said, your assignment is to find out why Christianity is spreading like wildfire. So he went around and began to interview different people, different Christians, and different people with whom those Christians were working, and companies and businesses, etc., that employed these Christians. And finally, he came up with a report. The report was really interesting because his writing is still with us today. And this is what Diogenes said, the reason why Christianity is spreading so much in the Roman Empire. Let me read it to you. It goes like this. I have found that Christians pass their lives here on the earth, but their citizenship is not on this earth. Their citizenship is in heaven. They live and buy their own lands, but they live as foreigners and aliens in their land. As citizens, they share their tables with everyone, but they share their beds with no one. They love all men, but yet they're hated by all men. They're treated outrageously, but behave respectfully. When they do good, they are attacked. And when they are attacked, they respond by doing good. They obey the prescribed laws, but at the same time, they surpass those laws by the way they live. In short, Diogenes said, they lack everything, but they have plenty of everything. You know, this kind of life is sort of like, there's like a magnetism to those who live this way. And you see, it's not when we're paid more that we become like this. We become like this because we know the one who paid it all. And even though we have nothing, we have everything, because we may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And there's such a magnetism. And when there's a life like that, you'll watch God begin to promote. But again, it may not include money. It may or may not. You see, it's promotion time. Some of you have been around a long time, but it's promotion time. Another step closer to God's best. There's some of you that's a husband, and God is saying, this season, it's promotion time. It's time for you to take another step closer to my best for you as a husband. It's promotion time. For you to step one step closer to you, for you to be the wife that I want you to be. A single man, it's promotion time. God is saying, I want you to think. Think the way that I would think. I want you to have a depth. It's promotion time. I don't want you to tolerate the things you used to tolerate a year or two ago. I want you to advance beyond that. The book of Hebrews says this, some of you, by this time, you ought to be teachers. There's some of you that have been around the church. It's time for you to teach. Time for you to give your gifts away. Time for you to be involved. And the Lord is saying, it's promotion time. There's some of you that are grandparents. And the Lord is saying, I want you to step another step closer to my best for you. It's promotion time. What am I saying to you? Write it down. Step towards it. Because you see, there's one thing worse than not being promoted. It's being promoted, but refusing to step with it. God is saying, it's promotion time. Touch the person next to you and say, it's promotion time. Go ahead. It's promotion time. Yeah. Some of you are saying a little more than just that, but that's all right. But it's promotion time. So you say, okay, Wayne, if it is promotion time and it's time to step up and say, God does that. Does that? He adds promotion. He adds prosperity. What do we do? Would you write number three? It's a real succinct point. Steward promotion and prosperity well. Steward it well. When God adds to you influence, how are you going to steward it? Or is it going to kill you? Is it going to cause you to become proud? Will you forget the Lord? I want you to listen very, very carefully. The greatest test in your life will not be poverty. The greatest test in your life will be prosperity. It's not having no one listen to you. The greatest test is when people do start listening to you. It's not when you don't have any money. It's when you have a whole bunch. It's not when you say, Lord, I got a tithe on $100. That's 10 bucks. Lord, that's easy. It's when I give you a million. Will you be able to give away 100,000? You see, it's not poverty that's the greatest test. Some of the greatest people came out of poverty. I mean, take a look at it. And Abraham Lincoln came out of abject poverty. Not of adversity, will rise a Teddy Roosevelt. Out of adversity will rise a brilliant Helen Keller. Out of South Bronx and Harlem came a General Colin Powell. Out of poverty comes an Oprah Winfrey. Poverty isn't the greatest test. It's what are you going to do now that God has prospered you? What are you going to do now? When God gives you like the funds of someone, even Howard Hughes, when he was asked, that billionaire, he was asked, how much is enough? Because he had a few billion dollars. How much is enough? His answer, with a twinkle in his eye, just a little bit more. See, sometimes we forget. Sometimes I watch even some celebrities. And I watch like a Britney Spears and the lascivious kinds of moves and the dresses she wears. Someone said, how are the prostitutes going to dress now? Because she's got it all. I mean, she's doing it herself. Funny, you know, she came from a really strong youth group in a church. And then she was promoted and she forgets the Lord. And does no longer represent him. How many are like that? Thousands and thousands. Your greatest test is not poverty. It's prosperity. And so when God does promote, steward it well. In fact, let's read what the scripture says here in Deuteronomy 8. Go. Beware that you do not forget the Lord. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, then your heart becomes proud and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the house of slavery. So what do? Let's read the next one. Go. Instruct those that are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. So who's going to richly supply us with all things to enjoy? Money. No. God. Not the God of mammon, the God of the universe. And that's why we must remember him. Otherwise, you can have a bankroll, but you'll end up with a bankrupt soul. What profits a man if he gains the whole world, yet loses his soul? Where do you start? Right where you are. John D. Rockefeller was at one time the richest man on the earth. He was he's a great Christian before he died, and he gave much to Christian endeavors. And he said once, he said, you know, I wouldn't have been able to give my first $1 million to the kingdom of God if it hadn't begun with my first $1.50 that I tithed when I made $15. See, it begins with where we are, because if we're faithful in little, we'll be faithful in. But if we squander little, guess what? We will squander much. It begins right where we are. Otherwise, we'll have a tendency to keep everything we have. You know, that's a definition of greed. Greed is keeping everything you get. But you see, when you begin to give, God says it's more blessed to what? Than to receive. Because that's the flow of life. In fact, you can't outgive the Lord. You give and watch God give to you more. And you give and he gives to you more. It's almost like the Lord is saying, that's the cycle. That's it. Because the residue of life remains. Otherwise, we try to keep everything that we can. Story of a little boy whose mom gave him 2 quarters. He's about second grade. And she said to him, if you go to church when the offering comes around and you put a quarter in the offering for God, you can keep the other one and buy yourself something on the way home. So he thought, oh, right. So he just was skipping to church. He was so excited, playing with jingling those 2 little quarters in his pocket, excited. And because he was playing with those 2 quarters, all of a sudden, bing, 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 1 quarter fell out of his pocket, went down the road a little bit, and went right into a manhole with a grating over it. He looked and saw that little shiny quarter at the bottom, and he reached his hand down, stretched as far as he can to try and get it. It was just out of his reach. So finally, in despair, he looked up to heaven. He said, oh, God, there went your quarter. But it was John D. Rockefeller who when he was about 50-some years old, he developed some sickness that the doctors could not trace and figure out, and he was starting to get emaciated, getting skinnier. He couldn't keep anything in. The story goes, it says that he was getting so sick that the doctor said, we can't find out what's going on. You're dying. And probably by 60, you'll be dead. feeling that he only had a few years left to live and having just amassed a fortune, he decided that I'm going to give it away. I might as well start helping people. So he started a foundation, the John D. Rockefeller Foundation. He began to help in research and medical research and helping people for the benefit of others and scholastic kinds of things and academic kinds of things. He just began to give and give and give because he figured, I only have a few years. I'm just going to help people as best I can. Funny though, the more he gave, God kept adding. Even when the stock market went down, he kept giving and God added and he amassed more. You know, the funny thing is, the more he gave, the better he felt. And he didn't die at 60. He didn't die at 65. He kept giving away and giving away. And he died 2 weeks shy of his 98th birthday. It's almost as if the Lord is saying, when you give, it keeps your heart clean. And always remember the Lord. Make sure that you're a servant of what I give to you. And if you'll steward prosperity well and promotion well, you'll be a person fruitful and you'll have health because it is God who gives you or supplies you with all things to enjoy. Not money, not prestige, it's the Lord. So when I give you fruitfulness, he says, don't forget the Lord because life comes from him. And as we understand that and define promotion correctly, there will be a growth and a fruitfulness in our lives. Oh, not just in the area of a job, but as a husband, as a wife, as a single man, as a single lady, as a student, as a grandfather, as a grandmother, because promotion is one step closer to God's best. I think it's promotion time. Touch the person next to you again and say, it's promotion time. It's promotion time. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's stand. Thank you. Let's bow our heads as we conclude in prayer. Don't forget water baptism today at 3:00 at the Magic Island Eva Inn. And for some of you, it's time for you to step a step closer to God's best for your life in water baptism, where you're saying in a public way, I'm going to die to my old. It's promotion time. I'm going to start taking steps closer to God's best because otherwise I can be being demoted and not ever realize it. You see, if we think that it just includes money, listen, if you are taking a step and it's a step farther from God's best, doesn't matter if it comes attended by $1 million, don't take it because it's coming from the wrong place because the devil knows how to tempt us. And we think it's promotion, but it's really demotion. And he's leading us to the edge. No, promotion is taking another step closer to God's best. Even if it doesn't come attended with money, take that step because then God sees that you're worthy of promotion before anything else. And it's a likeness that's starting to come. And then God will add. You see, sometimes God has to prune before he adds. I was at a guava farm in Hilo, and I said to the farmer, when do these trees give a bunch of, like, guavas? He said, well, there's always going to be, like, scrub guavas. But I said, you know those big, rich, big ones? When do those come out? He said, oh, those fruit and become producing of guavas after we prune. That's the season of the best guavas, after we prune. I thought, so true. Because sometimes there are seasons in our lives where God's going to prune. But if it's a step closer, take it. Because it'll be attended by fruitfulness right after. Walk worthy of it first and let God add. And when he does, steward it well and watch what God can do through you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much because it is promotion time. For some, it's a step forward in getting involved and contributing and using gifts and teaching or starting a life group or a small group. For others, it's seeing that there's an estrangement, there's a distance in a marriage, and it's time for that husband to receive your promotion to take a step closer to your best. Because if we define it incorrectly, we can go the wrong way. But if we define promotion correctly, you'll add the courage
You'll add the ability, and we'll make strides that bring us closer and closer to your best. And then you reward us with fruitfulness. So help us to recognize promotion the way that you define it. Then we'll align our hearts with yours. Thank you, Father, because this is promotion time. In Jesus' name we pray. Can you say amen? Let's thank God with a clap offering. Just tell him thank you. Someone a hug on your way out.